want to share just a few thoughts that the Lord started putting in my mind 3 or 4 weeks ago. And we do have a responsive reading today. It's, let's see which one of these it's on. I think it's on the back of the blue insert, and I think it'll also be on the screen. So let's stand together, shall we? In honor of God's Word, this reading is from Psalm 18. I'll read the light print, ask you to read the dark print, and I'll join you on that final verse. Father, we thank you this morning as your people gathered here together, Lord. We have a place we can go in our time of difficulty, and we thank you for the words that David and others wrote regarding you as a refuge and as a safe place to go in times of difficulty. And Lord, I just pray today, impress on our hearts again, Lord, the reality of this, and that this is what you want each and every one of your people to experience. And again, Lord, just that we could grow in this area and just find you to be continually that place of safety for us when the things around us are kind of swirling around and uncertain and life begins to get a little hard. And Lord, we just praise you that you are our rock and you are always there in every time of need. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in the name of the one who loved us and gave himself for us as a redeeming sacrifice through his shed blood. In Jesus' name we pray. And God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I looked over and I saw Jason and Dasha Borton with us all the way from Illinois, part of the Davis family. Good to have you with us. They're in ministry and have been for a lot of years in Illinois, and they're heavily involved in a church there. And I know Kenny and Peggy are always glad when they get our direction for a little bit. I was thinking some weeks ago about all these different words that David uses, and I was thinking also about the fact that, you know, David was a warrior. Now, we know in his earlier years, David was a little shepherd boy, and he cut his teeth, so to speak, out in the fields watching his father's sheep, and he said, you know, one time a lion came, and I just killed the thing, and another time a bear came, and I took care of him, too, so if I could take care of the lion and the bear with the Lord's help, I think I can take care of this giant as well. And that's early on when we're introduced to David. And he was chosen to be king because Saul was in disobedience. And God said to Samuel, fill your horn with oil and go and anoint one of the sons of David. So Jesse had all of his other boys pass before Samuel. And Samuel would think, well, maybe this is he, you know. And each time the Lord said, no, he's not the one, he's not the one, he's not the one. And finally, they were all out of sons. And so Samuel said, the Lord said, it isn't any of these. Do you have any more sons? He said, yeah, just the youngest one, but he's out in the fields with the sheep. And Samuel said, well, you better go and get him because nothing else is going to happen here tonight until he comes. So when David came, Samuel anointed him. And that was really the beginning of God's work in David's life. And we know during that period then, he's a shepherd boy who later rose to fame and renown because he slew the giant with just one stone from his sling and his confidence in the Lord. But then Saul became very jealous of David. And that begins phase two of David's life. On the one hand, he works for Saul. He goes out into battle. He fights the Philistines. The Lord gives him success wherever he goes. But on the other hand, Saul is so jealous of him, he can't stand it and begins to hunt him down, sometimes with as many as 2,000 troops at one time. And so for more than a decade, David is on the lam. David is a fugitive. David has to hide in the rocks. He has to hide in the thickets. He has to hide in the caves. He is a man on the run. So if there is anybody that knew about being pursued and being persecuted and being in danger and having to find a safe place to go, it would be David. And then, of course, phase three is later then, when he is finally crowned king of Israel, and he reigns in Israel for 40 years. And the rest is history, and he was a great man and a great military man. But when he begins to use these metaphors about the Lord is my rock, and the Lord is my shield, and the Lord is my fortress, and the Lord is my high tower, and the Lord is all these things, these are things that he had experienced in real life, and he knew the importance of them. And then he made the connection, and he said, you know, in the spiritual realm, God is all of those things to me. And so I want to ask you today, when life really gets hard and the troubles really begin, where do you go? And some will say, well, you know, I go to the Lord. Well, I hope so. But do you have a place to go? What do you do? And so these are passages that need to be meditated on. These are not enough to just know that the Word says that. I'm going to do almost like a miniature word study here this morning. That's just the beginning point. These are passages to meditate on. These are passages to digest, to read and to digest until they actually become a part of us. And I know that's why God put them in His Word. Amen? All the Word is useful for teaching and instruction and all of these things. And so God has it there, and it's up to us to avail ourselves of it. And so I just think it's marvelous that the Lord is all of these things to us. And of course, if you know me a little bit, you know that I love words, and I love meanings of words, and I love languages. So let's dig a little bit deeper here into some of these things. And if you're one of those who likes to fill out the little thing I put in the bulletin, now would be the time to get it. It's on the white sheet. And also, if you want to see an expanded version of these notes along with the text to all of the scriptures I use, you just go to sncc.org or .net, and there you can access those. All right. The first word that we find often that David uses of the Lord is, He is my rock. Now, for those of you who use the Strong's Concordance and you know the numbering system and you like to do some of your own study and digging, I don't often do this, but I've put the numbers there. So you can go home and you can go on crosswalk.org or whatever and access their Hebrew lexicon, or you can use the Strong's Concordance in the back and you can do your own little word study. But there are two Hebrew words that are used frequently in the Psalms for rock, and there are nuances there that we won't get into this morning. The words are roughly used interchangeably, Tsur and Selah, and they both mean rock. And so why does he say, the Lord is my rock? Let's just look at a few of the indications of a rock, and I think we know these. Now, he's not talking about a pebble, okay? He's talking about a rock, a big rock, like the Rock of Gibraltar or something like that, okay? So he says, the Lord is. That's a metaphor. The Lord is my rock. He says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation and my stronghold. In Psalm 19:14, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Psalm 27:5, for in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me upon a rock. Psalm 62:2, He alone, the Lord alone, and that's important, not the Lord and. The Lord alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. Psalm 71:3, Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. In the King James it says, to which I can continually, may continually resort. Oh, I love that. I'm not very smart, folks. I'm not very bright. There isn't a whole lot that I know, but I learned years ago that He's the rock and that I can continually resort to Him. And that's been such a blessing, because I don't think I could function otherwise, folks. Some people have a lot of psychological skills or this or that or the other and the other and the other. I don't do any of that stuff. I don't know how to do any of that stuff. But I sure do know how to resort to the Lord in a time of trouble. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. And it'll make up for a whole lot of other things. I can tell you that. What does a rock speak of? Number one, it speaks of strength. You ever tried to break a rock? You know? It's strong and it's unyielding. The Lord is my rock. He's my strength. Number two, it speaks of solid footing. There's a psalm where the psalmist says, He took me out of the miry clay, and He set my feet on a rock. Have you ever tried to walk in a marsh? Have you ever tried to walk in the miry clay, and all you do is slip and slide and sink down, and the more you struggle, the more you sink down? That's life without the Lord, and you see it every day in the lives of the people around you. And the problems are getting worse, and they're struggling, and they're trying, and the more they're struggling, and the more they're trying, the more they're sinking down in the miry clay. And let me tell you something, that's not going to stop until they get out of that clay and get their feet on a rock. Can I hear an amen? And the Lord is that rock. Not, you know, the things around you. Make use of whatever's around you if the Lord's put it in your way. But your rock isn't your wife or your husband or your friend or whoever. Your rock is the Lord. And never forget that. Number three, stability and permanence. Rocks are there. Rocks are there. They're there. Mount Rushmore. It was there. It's there. It's there. And if the Lord tarries and there isn't atomic warfare or something, you go 100 years from now and Jesus hasn't come, Mount Rushmore will still be there. It's a thing of stability and it's a thing of permanence. Don't we need some stability in our lives today? There's divorce everywhere. There's uncertainty about the economy. There's uncertainty about all kinds of... Hey, if you want to worry, there's never been a better time. This is the best time to live if you want to have something to worry about. But we need some stability in our lives, and only the Lord is going to be that stability. And just believing that He exists, or just having made a profession of salvation, that's not going to give us stability. Stability is a daily trust in the Lord. If you lived out there in Tornado Alley, weren't there a lot of tornadoes this spring? More than I've heard of. And you had a storm shelter, and the siren went off, and you knew it was coming. Let me ask you something. What would you do? Wouldn't you go into the shelter? It's not enough to know that you've got a shelter. You've got to go and get in the shelter. And that's what we've got to do when the storm comes and when the difficult times come. It's not enough to know, well, I know there's a shelter somewhere, but let me try all this other stuff. No, go straight to the shelter. Go straight to the place where your protection is. You'd think we'd know that stuff. But the rock will give us stability. There's almost no stability around us, politically, society-wise, sometimes in our families. There's no stability. The Lord is our stability. And people come and go from our lives. But the Lord is permanent. He's always there. He's not going anywhere. You've heard that. If the Lord seems far away, guess who moved? Number four, reliability. Reliability. People aren't always reliable. Some people are pretty reliable. A lot of people aren't all that reliable. But one thing is for sure, sometimes people want to help us and can't. They're not in a position to. But the Lord is reliable. He will always be there. The rock is always there. The rock's not going anywhere. Number five, unchangeableness. Unchangeableness. Rocks don't change, you know. You don't come by and, okay, today it's that shape, like the clouds, you know. And then you drive by the next day, it's a totally different shape. No, unchangeable. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to change. Unchangeableness. Endurance. Endurance. Just like the house Bennett was talking about and that Jesus told about. All the storm came and the flood, the tsunami hit it. Didn't even faze it. Endurance. I was seeing a little special on TV yesterday, and they got computers now, and they can predict how the tsunami's going to react and what it's going to do. And there's some town up there, they've only got one little slither of high ground in the whole town, and it's 20,000 people, and what are they going to do if they have a tsunami and all of that. Thank God we got a rock. We got a rock big enough to hold all of us. And of course, seven, agelessness and eternity. Again, just that's our God. From eternity to eternity, you are God. Everything around us is changing. Yesterday's cell phone is already out of date today. I mean, everything is changing around us. The Lord is from eternity to eternity. And if you want some perspective in your life, you've got to really remember that and focus on Him. Everything around us is changing all the time. And ultimately, it's going to go away. But the Lord will never change. He's ageless to all eternity. Okay, number two, we've got to move quickly here. Fortress, the Hebrew word matsud. And these are the word study I did, plus I've added a little bit to them. But these are like Amos Eby's definitions, but based on the definitions that you find when you do the word study. Fortress. David often needed a fortress. A fortress is a fortified place. Down in San Juan, Puerto Rico, where we lived for so many years in Puerto Rico, there's the Morro, the big castle right there when you first come into San Juan. And it's still there. It's a fortress, I tell you what. And they built them that way because ships would come up and shoot cannons at them and stuff. So they had to build them strong. So it is a fortified place where one may take refuge from the enemy, defend oneself, and also launch counterattacks. I like that one. This isn't just a defensive thing, folks. And when you take your refuge in the Lord, and then you start going to the Lord in prayer, and you start studying His Word and claiming it, and you start acting on His Word, then you're not only in the fortress, but you're in the fortress, and you're not only just hunkering down in a defense mode, you're shooting cannons back at the enemy. Can I hear an amen? And we need that. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Psalm 71:3. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Praise be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle. He is my loving God and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield, in whom I take refuge, who subdues people under me. I tell you, if you have that, you've got everything you need when you're under attack and in the battle. Third word here, secret, covert, hiding place. Sather is the Hebrew word. A covert place of safety and protection where one may rest secure from danger, harm, and conflict, known only to those to whom its existence and location have been revealed and carefully concealed from all others. A secret hideout known only to a chosen few. The world, if the Lord is your refuge, the world isn't going to understand about any of that. You can try to tell them, but they're not going to understand. They're not going to know where it is. But we know. We know where it is. And when we go into that secret place, the enemy cannot touch us. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest near to the heart of God. That's an old song you don't hear anymore. It's a secret place. You've got me hidden, Lord. You've got me hidden. And the enemy can't find me. Praise God. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter, it's that word, of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Psalm 32:7, you are my hiding place. Same Hebrew word. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. How many read Corrie ten Boom's book, The Hiding Place? And that was a safe place, right? For those people to be, from those who would be seeking their life. And the Lord has a hiding place for his people. You are my refuge and my shield in Psalm 119:114. But the word refuge there is the same word. You are my hiding place. Okay, habitation, dwelling. My own, the Hebrew word. Dwelling, habitation, dwelling place. A place of continual habitation. A permanent or habitual dwelling where one lives. So, it's where I live. And the Lord's presence is that way. He who dwells under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 91. And how we will be kept from harm and all that. He who dwells will have shelter under his wings. We have to live there. We have to stay there. We don't come and go. It is where I live, in the presence of the Lord. That is where I live every day. Different things may be going on, but that's where I live. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. And that could be translated, be the rock of my habitation. Be the rock of my habitation to which I can always go. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Psalm 90, verse 1. Same word. If you make the Most High, here it is. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. Next word, ohel. Tabernacle, dwelling place. It's like transliterated, H-E-L, with the accent on the front. Tabernacle or dwelling place. Here's my definition from the Hebrew. Tent, nomad's tent, and thus symbolic of wilderness life and transience. Dwelling, home, habitation. Also the sacred tent of Jehovah, the tabernacle, the dwelling of those on the move or engaged in warfare. So life sometimes can get kind of transient, right? And it's like, you know, we don't have too many moorings down here. He's our dwelling place even when we're on the move, even when we're in transition. And so that's just another nuance there. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle. Okay? Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. Same word. Now let's go to this next one. Sukh or Sukkah. There's two words there that are very closely related. Thicket, lair, covert, hideout, booth. And the second word, thicket, covert, booth. This is the same Hebrew word that whenever you're reading the Old Testament and you read about the Feast of the Tabernacles or the Feast of the Booths, that's what it is. They would make these little makeshift booths and shelters. It's the same word of the little thing that Jonah built over himself because the sun was beating down on his bald head. And he was sitting up on the hill seeing if the Lord was really going to destroy Nineveh. He built himself a little sukkah to keep the sun from punishing his bald head. So it's a place of shelter, of shade from the punishing sun, and it's also a shelter from the storm. And so, but it's a temporary thing. How many know we're not here on this earth permanently? This is a temporary thing. But the Lord is a place of shade and shelter from us. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter, the sukkah of his tabernacle, and set me high upon a rock. In the shelter, in the sukkah of your presence, you hide me from the intrigues of men. In your dwelling, you keep me safe from accusing tongues. Isn't that wonderful? Moving on, defense, stronghold, refuge, high tower. The Hebrew, misgab. High place, refuge, secure height, retreat, stronghold. An elevated place of safety beyond the enemy's reach, but from which counterattacks can be launched. How many know that if you have the height in a battle situation, you have the advantage? You've got the advantage because you can see what is going on around you. So the Lord is our defense, our stronghold, our refuge, our high tower, and he gets us up there where we can see what's going on. In the New Testament, it says we're seated with Jesus in heavenly places. If you're down on the street and you're like Zacchaeus, and remember Zacchaeus, the short little man, and the parade's going by, you can't even hardly see. You're stretching around, you're trying to see and everything. And then you can only see, even if you see, you can only see what's going by. But if you're in a tower or you're up on an elevated hill, you can see the whole parade at one time, and you can see the ones up front and the ones at the back and everything else. That's what the Lord will do for us if we live in his presence. He will give us some perspective to our lives. We get all bogged down in today, and we think today's problem is the biggest problem we've ever had, and that today it's the end of the world. Am I right? Sometimes. And then we go and we start spending some time with the Lord, and we spend some time studying his word, and all of a sudden he just kind of lifts us up, and it's like, hey, this isn't all there is. I'm still in control here. Don't you worry about a thing. And then some normalcy returns to us. Monos, refuge, flight, refuge, place of escape. The emphasis on this one is, it's the place that I run to when I'm running away and when I'm escaping. And then it's the safe place waiting for me as I flee. I literally flee to it. Sometimes we've got to do that. Sometimes things are just so whatever, I've just got to flee to the Lord. I will sing of your strength in the morning. I will sing of your love, for you are my fortress, my refuge. It's that word, monos, my refuge in times of trouble. Strong tower, Migdal. By the way, there was a town, if you read in the Old Testament, there was a town named Migdal because there was a tower there. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. If there's no natural elevation nearby, then you need a tower. And towers have always been used in warfare since time immemorial. And you travel all over Europe and you see Italy and places like that, and you see a lot of towers. Refuge or shelter. Is that our last word? Aren't you glad? Makase. Refuge, shelter from rain or storm, from danger or falsehood. Just simply a refuge. Just simply a place I can go. God is our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in trouble. Psalm 46:1. For you have been my refuge or shelter, a strong tower against the foe. Psalm 61:3. I have become like a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. Psalm 71:7. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. That word right there, makase. He is my makase and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. But the Lord has become my fortress and refuge, and my God, the rock. That's in Psalm 94:22. And then the last one, Psalm 142:5, I cry to you, O Lord, I say, you are my refuge. How many know that song we sing sometimes? You are my hiding place. That's him. So when these things come, what do you do? And that's really only my word to you today. It's not enough to know this stuff. This is stuff to meditate on. Go find those verses. Go find those scriptures. And then start doing it. When David was fleeing from Saul, he actually did run and flee. And he actually did look for those hiding places and for those towers and for those places of refuge. And then, at the spiritual level, he did the same thing. It was easy for him to make that connection because he had been doing it for years in real life on the battlefield. And so he says, Lord, whenever there's danger, trouble, difficulty, Lord, you are all these things to me, and I'm going to flee to you. Now, how do you know, and this is what I'm closing with, how do you know if you're doing this stuff? It's easy. If you're laying awake at night worrying a lot, you're not doing this stuff. If you can't hardly concentrate at work because you've got stuff on your mind and it keeps coming back over and over, you're not doing this stuff. If you're distraught, if you're numb, just numb, you're not doing this stuff. If you're cynical, oh, nothing ever works for me. The Lord, I don't know, He seems to help other people, but He never helps me. You're not doing this stuff. Because if you were doing this stuff, you wouldn't be feeling that way, and you wouldn't be saying that. So it's real easy to know. Let's pray. Father, I think of an old spiritual that we used to sing. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows. But Jesus, but Lord, it's enough for you to know. And Lord, as your people, help us to put aside our sophistication and our technology and our cell phones and our stuff long enough to find some refuge in you and to go to that place where you are. And you are wherever we stop and begin to call on your name. That's where you are. And that's where you begin to enter the picture. And that's where we may not see any change in our outer situation right away. But that's where we become aware of the fact that you're our protection, that you're our fortress, that you're our defense, that you're our refuge, that you're the place we can run to, that you're the place we can hide in, and help us to do it, and to do it every day if we've got to do it. Not to ignore the problem, not to be in denial, but to know that we have a place of safety. And you want us so much to know this because you don't want us to live in a state of being distraught all the time. You don't want us to walk around worried sick. You don't want us to walk around so angry and so grieved and so vengeful that we can't even think straight and don't want to eat. You don't want us that way. And so I pray today, Lord, help us to learn the simple lessons of making you our rock, making you our stronghold, making you our strong place, making you our high tower. And then when we have discovered that, then we can go on and we can deal with life situations. The outer circumstances may not change right away. Sometimes they may not change at all. But by putting our trust in you, how do we go to the hiding place? By claiming your word and by putting our trust in you. And you will always be there because, like the rock, you're always dependable, always reliable, always stable, always strong, always there, and you will always be what we need in our time of need. So, Lord, whoever you may be speaking to today, help us to take your word and apply it. I thank you for your word. I thank you that it works. It works for me, and it'll work for anybody else in this place today, and it will work next week, and the week after that, and the week after that. And when new surprises come and new situations develop, it will work then too. We will never be broadsided if we are really depending on you. And Lord, thank you today that even more so, because of the blood that Jesus shed, we have a rock-solid, inalterable, unabridgeable covenant that you have made with us through the blood of your Son, that when we come and that blood has been sprinkled on the mercy seat in heaven itself, that we have the basis now to come to that throne of grace and find the grace of help to help in our time of need. And it is rock solid, and we can come without restriction and without limitation. So today, as we take the communion and as we partake of the bread and the grape juice, signifying the body and the blood of our Lord, impress on us again just how rock solid and ironclad the covenant is that you have made with us through the blood of your Son. You cleanse us from all sin. You make us righteous in your sight, and you cover us with your wings. Now, Lord, we entrust the rest of the service to you. Work in our hearts today in ways that will glorify you, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.